They settled the beef between Brody Brazil and NHL ties. Brent Burns delivers post-game pizza to them. Randy Hahn calls them for fashion advice. Yevgeny Nabokov has a matryoshka of them. They provided the new Sharks goal song twice. S.J. Sharkey calls them his spirit animal. They invented the chomp. They are the most interesting Sharks podcast in the world. They are the Pucknologist. Stay pucky, my friends.
Hey now, welcome to episode 2 of the Pucknologists, bringing you the week that was in Sharks hockey from Pucknology.net. And with me, as always, are the other Pucknologists, Miss Rocket Backhander.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Doing, to quote a former host, I'm doing outstanding.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. And our other Pucknologist, how are you?
Timo Meyer gave me mono.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Timonucleosis.
Timonucleosis, I love it.
I have the timonucleosis.
And with that, since we last spoke to you, the Sharks have played 3 games. And I bet you thought every one of them ended up in overtime with a 3-2 win. But nope, not against Anaheim. But starting off, we had a game in Arizona. Of course, it ended. OT, 3-2 win. Anything versus Arizona that jumped out? Like I said, this is all still preseason. It's hard to get a focus on everything going on, but it was an OT 3-2 win. How about that DeMelo guy? He gets the OT winner, and he has looked very, very good in this preseason. And I know it's going to upset Rocket, but I'm telling you, I got this weird feeling DeMelo is knocking somebody off the 5-6 pair or the third pair. And I feel like it's going to be Dylan.
That's fine, but have you seen the defensive lineup in the AHL?
Yeah, I hear you, but boy, DeMelo's looking good. And I believe, Hockey Jerk, you would know this. Don't Schlemko and Dylan shoot from the same side?
Yeah, they're both left-handed, but Schlemko is also known for playing on his offside.
Yeah, so there is that, but DeMelo gives you that other option being a righty, so... We'll see. Well, like I said, I just put it out there that I think I said on the previous episode, I don't know, I just have this feeling that DeMelo's going to get a couple good looks between now and Thanksgiving, and you might see somebody get bumped from that 5-6 pair if things aren't going well, of course.
I think it doesn't have to be if things aren't going well. I think if someone gets injured, say Paul Martin has to sit out a game, or you know, somebody else on the defensive line gets hurt, then yes, DeMelo is definitely somebody in the cupboard that we can pull forward and patch our way through. But I do not see him completely overtaking somebody.
I agree with Rocket, and she brings up a good point about the injury, because the previous 2 seasons, Vlasic has seen extended stretches of, you know, not playing because he's been hurt. And we got to see a lot of DeMelo in those times. We saw Mueller. The
Tennyson.
Previous years we've seen, yeah, Tennyson, Taylor Fadun way back when. So, I mean, if we want to go for the three-peat on a Vlasic injury, I think DeMelo is prime for jumping in.
Right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be Dylan. It could be any blue liner.
And Dylan's for days.
But also, maybe even take into account that we saw what Pete DeBoer did last season, giving the older guys rest rather than putting them at a lot of optional practices and even some mandatory days off. Maybe you look at putting Paul Martin in that group and maybe even giving him a game off on a back-to-back. If it's 3 out of 4 nights, maybe you give Martin a night off and throw DeMelo in there or something along those lines if it would work out. Who knows? But it's going to take me the regular season before I start saying LeBanc.
Whoa.
LeBanc still, and part of that has to do with the fact that he was listed tonight, as we're recording, on the Barracuda roster as LeBlanc. So give me a break with it. Or see, oh, and I screwed it up again. He was listed as LeBlanc on. Okay, all right. The bank man. We'll just start calling him Fort Knox. How's that? He's the bank. The bank over these four games looking pretty damn good, don't you think, Hockey Jerk?
Yeah, absolutely. And I said it last week too. LeBanc is a guy that I've been a fan of pretty much since we drafted him. You know, the year before he was drafted, he didn't put up the sexiest number of points, but those two seasons afterwards, he was just lights out. He, I believe, led the entire OHL in scoring this past year, and
yep.
I think he was a big part of the Barry Colts in those two seasons. And I'm glad that like Sharks fans who don't necessarily watch the OHL are starting to see, you know, what he's all about and what he can bring, at least to the Barracuda.
Yeah, and I know Ian and Landy have, from Pucknology After Dark, have had a big thing about LeBanc for quite some time. Any other people stand out for you, Rocket? I know we've been to two games so far this season. One of the standouts for me, but all the wrong way, was Sorensen. I think I said that after the first game that we went to, that he was one of the guys that I was keying in on to review during the game, and I did not like much of what I saw. But what has stood out for you, whether it's good or bad, Rocket?
Well, just so you know, they sent Sorensen to the AHL, so somebody else has the same opinion you do. This was a difficult thing for me to see out there. Bodker, Hurdle, and who was that third?
Donskoy?
It was Donskoy. That line, it looked like a pile of gunpowder just waiting for someone to put a match to it. I mean, it did. And they didn't get their chance, but I have a feeling that that line, that combination, is going to do something really, really special this year.
And for guys not doing so well, Nikolai Goldobin, you're on the clock, bro. Like, he seems like he's about 5 seconds away from asking for a trade to Florida because maybe the weather's a little nicer there or something. Like, Goldie, come on, buddy. What's your problem, man?
Well, doesn't Ian usually say something about how Russians are traditionally very emotional?
Late bloomers?
They're just emotional.
Well,
if you look at, speaking as the unofficial resident KHL fan here,
sure.
If you look at a lot of KHL games, they're really high scoring. And whether you want to say it's because they don't play defense or they don't focus on defense, the fact is KHL games are much higher scoring than NHL games. And so it's very obvious that offense comes first with those guys. And part of me thinks Goldobin, you know, doesn't want to learn how to be a better two-way player or can't or whatever, because I know I've talked with a lot of guys at the Sharks practices I've been to, and they've said, you know, when Goldobin is on, he's on, and when he's off, he's a ghost.
Well, like I said, boy, you're on the clock, and there's clearly a spot to be won. So, poop or get off the pot.
Well, I wonder if he'll have a good career in the KHL.
Enjoy it. Say hi to Alexander Koryuk. So basically, you know, that's what we've gone from the last three games. Last night, was anybody kind of surprised that the first time we're seeing Martin Jones in net, and it's the first game they've lost in preseason, as if preseason is that big of a deal? But was anybody a little surprised by that? Or is it more of a case of you're just surprised that you didn't see that powder keg of Hurdle, Donskoy, and Bodker be able to put anything past the Anaheim netminder?
Bernier was on fire. You can't. He had an amazing night. You can't deny that.
For the first time in a while.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen when you get out of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization.
That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't want to say it. But yeah.
So that's pretty much the week that was when it came to the games. You know, really nothing too much out of the ordinary. You can't read too much into preseason. We've seen it happen before. Some guy like will light it up during preseason, and then he gets some shots during the regular season. Doesn't look nearly as good. Folds under the pressure. Or you get a guy who looks during the preseason, and then for some reason breaks out during the regular season. So obviously, time will tell when that comes to it. Let's move on. Mr. Dan Boyle, probably my favorite Sharks defenseman, although Burns is making a case for himself. But Dan Boyle, always going to be my favorite Sharks defenseman. Boiler retires as a Shark this week, and I got to say, how pissed off do you got to be at an organization to win a Stanley Cup with them but not retire as one of as a member of that organization? How pissed off must he still be at the Tampa Bay Lightning, Rocket? Well,
I don't think that it's necessarily has to do with Tampa so much as it has to do with San Jose. It's that he fell in love with San Jose. And once you have that one great love, it doesn't matter how good anybody else is. You could run off and have a perfect thing with somebody else. And that little teal love inside of you is always going to be there. So I don't think it speaks negatively to any relationship. I think it just speaks to the strength and the magic of the city of San Jose.
What say you, Harky Jerk? Does Dan Boyle have his teal heart light on?
Yeah, you know, I completely agree with Rocket. I think the 6 years he spent here, I think he really enjoyed himself. And, you know, he didn't get to win the Stanley Cup, but he put up some very good numbers while he was here. And I kind of want to go against what Rocket said, just because there was all of this drama when the Lightning traded him. You know, they gave him an extension, and he was supposed to be there until he retired, and then new ownership came in and they basically said, look, you're either going to waive your no trade clause or we're going to waive you and you're going to be on probably claimed by the Atlanta Thrashers. So they kind of forced him into waiving his no trade clause. So I could see from that perspective why he may be sour on Tampa Bay. That was also pre-Iserman, which is where I think Rocket's point of his love for Teal comes into play. I don't think it was one or the other. I think it's a mix of both things. Like, hey, you know, I loved it here, and, you know, I never really got dicked around while I was here, so I think I'm going to do this here.
A little bit of hindsight, huh?
anyway, following up on Dan Boyle, though, the Sharks did release today, and I think we all knew this was coming, especially after what we saw last season and the whole creation of the Alumni Association. But Dan Boyle, Alumni Night, will be versus the Ducks on October 25th. I got to say, the thing that irritates me are two things. First off, how do you not do Dan Boyle Night versus Tampa? That just would have been so perfect. Like, to me, that's a missed opportunity. That just bums me out. But number two, of course, the Sharks are going to run a promotion. And so it's, you know, starting at $35, one ticket and one t-shirt. I think that's fantastic, but the thing that bums me out is, what if you already have a ticket for that game and you're a big Boyle fan and you want one of those shirts? Are they going to make the shirt available to purchase like they did when they had the Metallica night? I also heard on Ray Whitney night last year that Whitney shirts were available to purchase. So I just wish they would also make that known if in fact that is the case, because you might have really big Boyle fans out there. You know, Gentry, obviously, who's going to want that shirt. At least let the fans know that, hey, is this the only way I can get it? Is that I have to buy another ticket for a game that I already have a ticket to? Or will I have that option to buy the shirt separately? I mean, what do you think, Hockey Jerk? Is it, you think there's going to be the shirt will just be available for purchase?
I could see them doing something like that. I know when they did Metallica Night, because I was at Metallica Night, and over in the section, I believe it's 116, they had a little booth from the foundation, and it was like, oh, you know, you provide, like, you give us how much ever, you know, like a donation, if you want to call it that, and you would get a shirt. And so I know they might do something like that. I could also see them kind of restructure how they're doing the shirt thing. Like, say a lot of people really want the shirt and there's a high demand, they may come up with a different plan, maybe pass it out like they did for the home opener last year where everybody got a shirt. That's something I could see happen. I don't really know what they're going to do. I hope they do something that kind of caters to the people who already have tickets to the game, though.
Yeah, that's my biggest point. I'm all for the promotional nights, especially like what they did last year, whether it was you had the six different posters, you had three different mini lockers. So there was definitely a ton of stuff, and they've got stuff this year. You know, the Giants mashup jersey and the Los Tiburones jersey. We've just found out opening night they're going to be giving a miniature banner away to mark being the Western Conference champions. But these are items that every fan is going to get as they walk in through the door. You know, they didn't need a special ticket for this item. And I wish they would have done the same thing with the Dan Boyle shirts. They could have very easily, you know, I'm not really sure why they did it so quickly. I mean, he just retired yesterday, and 20 days later, not even 20 days later, they're doing the alumni night for him. I thought it was something that they could have pushed into the second half of the season and made sure that everybody got a shirt.
So my theory on that is that they wanted to do the retirement night early in the season so that all of the people who haven't canceled 365 yet are still there, and so they can go see it before they lose customers.
Wow. Well, you know what? Let's cover 365 a little bit. I know Rocket shared with me a story that I would love to hear from her right now about Sharks and the 365ers, as we like to call them.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rocket Backhander, and I have a story to tell you. This is a literal tale of 365 or GTFO. So I went to practice the other day, and I sat down to next to another diehard fan who's at practice a lot. She's, you know, just a regular person. She just takes pictures and likes to watch the guys skate and hoots and hollers at them when they score goals, all sorts of good stuff. Well, she showed up to practice on Saturday and was told by someone working for SAP Center that, or working for the Sharks, that she would have to leave the South Rink bleachers. And the only way that she could, that she or any of the other guests who were in attendance, all two of them, would have to get a wristband after they checked in with their 365 rep. Apparently, what they had done was they had closed off the camp on Saturday morning so that only 365 members could go and watch camp. It just seemed sort of strange, because if you want to go watch practice, you're going to go watch practice. So for them to take this really, really non-sexy event that gets done every day, and, you know, you can just show up and you just, I'm not saying this right. It's a really, really basic thing to go sit in the stands and watch these guys skate. You don't talk to them. You don't, you know, you really don't interact with them. You don't slap on the glass, anything. You're just there watching them. They do all their exercises and they skate for, like, you know, an hour at the most, and then you leave. That's it. There's no autographs, really. I mean, not really. It's a thing. It's not a big production. They don't have snacks. There's not an ice team. It's just practice. So for them to take this really nuts and bolts essential activity and try to turn it into something ceremonial, again, kind of smacked of this Truman Show aspect that I didn't like. It was creepy. The lady who I was speaking to went out to her car and phoned an employee, a manager at the facility at Sharks Ice. And she said, hey, you know, I'm a diehard fan, and I was wondering if there's any way you might be able to get me in there, if there's room left. I know that there's so and so forth. She said, you know, well, sure, we'll get you in. And from this conversation that that this lady had with the manager at Sharks Ice, she was able to glean that no one at the Sharks hockey team had given anyone at Sharks Ice notice that they were going to hold an event on Saturday morning. So there was no email sent out. There's no preparation. They didn't have an opportunity to staff properly for it. Everybody had to go scrambling to get stanchions and you know, get everything properly done. Sharks Ice and Entertainment did a decent job of trying to put on a production for the 365 members. From what I understand, they trotted out Jamie Baker, Dan Rusinowski, a whole bunch of other people, trying to just get everyone pumped up for the season and thanking them for their support. And then there was free pizza, and then there was supposed to be more practice. But of course, all of the 365 members left after they had their free pizza.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, it seems like I'm hearing more and more of these stories on social media from just Sharks fans, and whether they're 365ers or, I mean, I'm hearing stories about fans not being happy that aren't 365ers and ones that are 365ers. So I know someone who is a 365 member, I'm sorry, actually, let me correct that. I know someone who sign their kids up for the Kids Fanatical Club. And evidently, there was a promotion, I believe, at Sharks Ice in the last week that Tomáš Hertl was a part of. And that evidently is her kid's favorite player, the little kid, the little guy. You know, he's got two or three different Teenage Mutant Ninja Hertl shirts, huge Hertl fan. There was a Hertl event, and they received no notification. The way they found out about it is that they saw the Sharks tweeted out photos of Hertl at the event after the event was already over. And so she was obviously very upset with the management on that. And then my little quick story, and sorry, Hockey Jerky, you've been waiting on hold so patiently. Please continue to hold. My little story, not a 365 related story, but just kind of this idea of maybe there's too much attrition going on within the organization, and people just don't know what's going on. But just a couple of days ago, Tuesday on the October 4th, the signups forms were made available for the Sharks and Strikes promotion that they do every year, where you get to go bowling with Sharks, obviously there's going to be team members from the Sharks. There'll probably be some Barracuda players. There'll also be Randy Hahn and Jamie Baker and Birdie Brazil and Dan Rizanowski, the whole lot. So the Sharks and Strikes promotion, they promoted the hell out of it a few times. I saved the date, October 4th. This is when to sign up. I did the event last year, had a lot of fun, and was very much looking forward to doing it this year. So this time I go to, it says, you know, love, it's October 4th, and so like 9 a.m., I go to sharksfoundation.org. There's no link for it. There's no active link, nothing. So I tweet at the Sharks, I tweet at the foundation, no real response at all. And then finally, at about 1:30, I get a tweet, and it says, oh, the forum's active, or the page is active, and you should be able to sign up now. I go to the page. There's five links on this page. Two of them were not working. They were just good. You were getting 404 errored. Just something wasn't working. Finally, I figure out how to get to the form. I fill out the form, and it has the price list of if you're an adult, if you're a child, there's just some different prices, but here you go. And I click off the box for one adult, $225. So I click it. I go to do the pay to, you know, it throws you over to a paying system, PayPal, whatever, Visa, MasterCard, whatever you want to use. And when it does the charge, it charges me $125 rather than $225. So I'm like, did I just get a deal that I'm not aware of? Or maybe this was a case of the 365ers were able to sign up earlier at a reduced cost. And you know what? If you're a 365er and you pay the big money and you're that devoted, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with them getting a price break on that and having early sign up. That's one of the benefits of being a 365er, I would assume. I can see it from that regard. But evidently this was not the case, because about 5 minutes after I clicked through on the registration and said, sign me up at this price, I got a phone call from the Sharks Foundation that said, yeah, we had to refund your money because our form was not, it wasn't set up correctly, and you were supposed to be charged $225 instead of $125. But the form should be corrected now, so if you go back in, you should be all good. Like, okay, so I go in, I fill it out, and now that's fine, and I'm all set up, I'm ready to go. But it just seems like there just seems to be brick after brick after brick that log after log that they keep throwing on the fire. That is just little things like what happened to the attention to detail that the Sharks used to have. And then the thing that I saw that has pissed off a lot of fans who have gone to previous bowling, the Sharks with the Strikes events, is that now there is a bid to bowl. So let me just try to draw this up real quick. In previous Sharks and Strikes events, what would happen is you show up and you're assigned a lane. And when the players get there, they basically just pull numbers out of a hat. So when they get there, if you're on lane 16 and Joe Thornton happens to pull 16 that day, well, then guess what? You're bowling next to Joe Thornton that night. But if it's Mike Brown, or if it's Kevin LeBanc, if it's Matt Willows, if it's Brody Brazil, doesn't matter. It was just a case of whoever pulled the number, that's the lane. It was all completely random. Well, evidently new to 2016, guests can choose to place bids on their favorite player, coach, broadcaster, or alumni to win the opportunity to bowl with them. So between November 7th and November 20th, a mobile bidding platform will be open, allowing all the guests to place and follow bids conveniently with their smartphone. They're very convenient and digital now this season. You don't have to bid, but all bids will start at $50, and every participating player, coach, broadcaster, alumni, whoever is already booked to be there, all of them will be up for bid. So, of course, you know that Pavelski and Thornton and some of the big names, there's going to be some huge fans or something that are going to blow who knows how much. 50 is the starting rate. There's probably going to be people that bid $1,000 to bowl with the player that they want to. They're still doing what's called the rotation. When I did it last year, you basically you bowl for about 45 minutes to 50 minutes with the one player that was assigned to your lane. And after that time is up, everybody moves down one lane to the right. That's fine. And apparently that will still be in effect. This just seems like it just comes off to me as a money grab.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And something else that I kind of popped in my head, and I brought this up last week when we were talking about, digital ticketing and all that stuff, but it's more and more unnecessary change. Like, I've never been to the Sharks and Strikes thing. I know you have, and I have a couple friends who have been. From what I've heard from you guys, it doesn't sound like there was anything wrong with the promotion or the event or whatever you want to call it. So I don't really see the point in changing it and making it, a cash grab or whatever you want to call it. That being said, and I mean, I know this kind of goes against the point of bringing it up, but it doesn't really bother me, only because myself as a fan, I could bowl with anybody from Joe Pavelski to, Dylan DeMello and everyone in between. And I'm loving life, because you get to see one of your players on your favorite team. And at the end of the day, I think that's the whole point of it.
And I absolutely agree with you. I was one of my favorite players of all time has always been Owen Nolan. And that, luckily enough, that's who I got assigned to bowl with last year. And it was a blast. Just to put it in perspective too, last season at this time, Logan Couture was battling a serious leg injury. I mean, if you recall, there was talk of amputation at one point. So he was battling that serious leg injury. But the poor guy, like a champ, is wheeling around. He's got one leg on the ground and one folded on this, little seat on a scooter thing. And he's being taken around by somebody from the Sharks organization saying, would you like to get a photo? I mean, it was very much, would you care to take a photo with Logan? Would you care to take a photo with Logan? I mean, and the poor guy, I don't even know how many photos he took that night. But I mean, it's a great event, but I completely agree with you. It's this whole change for the sake of change. I'm very much one of those people. I get the whole idea of preventative maintenance, but you don't fix something that isn't broken. This is something I don't think that was broken at all. And I think the bowl to bid or the bid to bowl, it just comes off, it just comes off as a cash grab, Rocket.
I went to the wine tasting last year, and they had an auction. They had a live auction to attend certain events with Brent Burns and certain events with Patty Marleau and his family. And they made a ridiculous amount of money just from the live auction. And it went fast. I mean, under 2-3 minutes, it was quite a large sum of money. So if they had done something like that with great success and they saw that and wanted to translate that to other events, that would be fine. So if they were live auction to get a chance to do something else with the players who will be there, then yeah, I think that would be great. But I concur with all of you guys. If it wasn't broke, then they didn't really need to throw this in as just, yeah, it's just straight capitalism. I mean,
yeah.
It's not pretty.
It did smack of that to me. And I mean, hey, if it's going to work and all that money goes to a good cause and a good charity, yeah, it's hard to get upset about that. But I figured like there might have been, maybe there was a better way to go about this. Because if I remember correctly, they have an auction at the event. I mean, they're already raising money. When we went to the Sharks and Strikes last year, there was there was a bowling ball that had the 25th logo on it that I believe was autographed. There's several other autographed items there that are up for bid. So they're already doing an auction. I don't know. It just, like I said, it all comes down to maybe if the money goes to a good place, that's great. It just felt like there could have been maybe a little bit better way to do it, that it didn't come off, at least the way some fans are seeing it, as kind of a cash grab.
Well, having said that, everyone needs to go out and bid on Brendan Dillon. Please, please, please bid on bowling with Brendan Dillon, because Brendan Dillon is the best, most nicest guy ever. And he is a good bowler too. So you should probably just want him to be in your lane.
I did meet Brendan last year at the event, and he was a very gentlemanly guy.
See, he's a nice guy.
Hell of a nice guy. Speaking of hell of a nice guy, I don't know that there is a nicer guy on the planet than friend of the show, former guest, Brody Brazil. Brody Brazil had kind of a rant this week where he kind of called out some local media people. I don't know if he had anybody in particular in mind. I don't believe he did. I think it was kind of he was painting with a broad brush, probably talking either about the San Francisco Chronicle, San Jose Mercury, 95.7 The Game, KNBR, and I mean, CSN. I mean, they pretty much have the monopoly when it comes to local sports coverage around here. So I tend to think he was probably pointing towards the local writers and the local sports talkers. The Sharks did something pretty phenomenal. They one of the last two teams standing, and while hockey to you may be a quote unquote niche sport, the fact of the matter is that Sharks Ice is the biggest ice facility west of the Mississippi and is constantly packed with people getting on the ice, playing hockey, picking it up, and learning more and more about it every time. Don't sleep on this sport. Start paying attention to it. You don't wait until the playoffs start to pay attention to it. And kudos to KNBR, because this since preseason started, they've had Brendan Dillon on. I believe they had one of the coaches on today. They had Martin Jones on during Tom Tolbert in the afternoon. And that's the other thing too. They've got him on with Tom Tolbert, which I believe is KNBR's cash cow when it comes to ratings. You know, he dominates his time slot, and it's a big time slot, drive time, afternoon commute. And they're not burying it saying, oh, let's get Marty Jones on here, you know, like during the lunchtime hour.
Mean like Paul Martin at 7:30 in the morning, directly before an entire string of conversations about group love experiences?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Paul Martin was on earlier this week on Live 105.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't, from what I understand, the most professional conversation. I listened to it very briefly, and then I was done with it, because I understand the vocabulary of morning show radio is that you're trying to be entertaining. If you're going to talk to a sports person, you're probably not going to talk a lot of sports, because that's not the demographic that you're trying to appeal to as a music station who's supposed to have an entertaining morning show. So I get that. If anything, I kind of put it on the Sharks, if they're the ones that are behind the setting up these appearances with the PR to groups. I don't know if they're locked in with Entercom or Cumulus as the radio owners, but I can't imagine they would be. I just don't understand, why isn't Paul Martin doing if he's going to do an interview segment like that, why isn't it on KFOX? Why isn't it on your flagship station? It's even something that you don't necessarily have to do it live. You could do something that was pre-recorded that you could do for a 5 or 6 minute segment, that make it like a little bit of a Sharks 5 or 6 minute Sharks commercial kind of thing, quote unquote, that you can play 2 or 3 times a day. You know, you play it during the morning, play it afternoon, play it evening.
Yeah, but that means that the Sharks would have to produce it and then sell it to the radio station as a commercial, basically.
Either way, that takes coordination
and planning. And as you noticed, they lack both of those things in the front office this season.
Well, I'm pretty sure the guys at KFOX could make this happen. I'm sure that they could do a thing with Tim Jeffries.
The Sharks gave them money to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, Tim Jeffries, veteran dude, he could make this happen. And a big Sharks fan, he could make this happen. But I'm just saying, I thought it was a little odd that if you're going to go on a morning program, that either one, why isn't it KFOX, or two, why isn't it a sports station? But hey, you know what? Maybe this is their way to try to reach out to a different demographic, and I'll give them a pass for that. But Kevin Klein and Live 105, I would have hoped for something a little better in the way of dialogue. But that, like I said, that is the vernacular of morning show radio.
Well, then there was a Brendan Dillon interview on, was it The Game, where I think it was, whatever that guru guy's name, told a puck guy who called in afterwards that nobody watched hockey, nobody cared about hockey, hockey was not important in the Bay Area. That's verbatim. He said that to him on air.
Yeah, well, and from what I understand, that is kind of the running talking point at 95.7 The Game is nobody cares about hockey.
That, I think, is what Brody was – that was part of the kindling, but it was a big part of that kindling.
Absolutely. And the fact that Brody has appeared several times he's even filled in, like when Greg Popper or somebody needed the depth, he's gone and filled in. So, that would kind of bother me too, to see that a sport, either way, we're getting off on a tangent, which of course I knew I would, because I'm very passionate about this subject, but just kudos to Brody Brazil. I'm so happy he called out the local media for their lack of Sharks coverage. The fact that they're, let's be honest, primarily with the notable exception of a few, like our friend Ross McKeon, Kevin Kurz, Curtis Peschelka. I know there's a couple other that I'm missing, Mark Purdy. These are guys that have been, around for quite some time that have been holding that torch up high for quite some time. So to see the radio guys, and it seems to be KMBR really seems to have stepped it up as of late. And so kudos to them. And the fact that 95.7's program director is Canadian, I do find funnily ironic, but what are you going to do? I just get a kick out of it. So anyway, let's move on to the next segment. I know it already feels like we're running along, so let's try to...
Because we are.
Yeah, let's try to rapid fire some of this stuff.
Jerk fell asleep.
Yeah.
So my my phone decided it wanted to explode, so I was trying to solve that.
You have a Galaxy?
No. No, I got my my Hold on. iPhone.
Where is it? Where is it?
There it is.
It's not okay. As Brody's soundboard.
Yeah, I gotta get that. Hey, so off topic here a little bit. Did anybody see the Arizona Coyotes? I don't even know what this is. Press release, I guess. Yeah, that says, and I'll get through this really fast. It just says, "We're sorry. Sorry for all the slogans and taglines. Sorry we asked you to join the hunt. Run with the pack. Be Coyotes cool. We're especially sorry for that last one. Sorry for hockey headquarters. Together we're full strength and not your dad's original six. We get it. We're sorry for the insecurity. It's not by choice that we face new questions and question marks seasons after seasons. But hey, it's hard to overcome being the underdog, no pun intended." So basically, they've sent out this really bizarre, and it goes on a little bit longer, but they've sent out this really odd press release that ends with no taglines, no promises, no excuses, Coyotes 2.0.
Hashtag irony, Coyotes 2.0 is the tagline of taglines.
Right? So, I mean, obviously the Sharks, Sharks for life, that's the tagline this season. So I don't understand why they're apologizing for slogans and taglines. If anything, they should probably be, apologizing that their star player is a 38-year-old Shane Doan.
I think what they're doing is pretty much the same thing that I can't remember. I think it's the Canadian. A couple of people have complained about with Sharks hockey is how many times the jersey has changed. I think you've said this too about how you want to start tradition and all this other thing, but you can't if you keep changing it. I think that's the same sentiment that the Coyotes fan base is maybe given to the front office, and this is them turning around and saying, yeah, you guys are right. We need to just start from scratch. No BS, no gimmicks, just hockey and us. We're going to do this together.
I mean, I think you can probably do both, but I think it's more of a case of they're like, look, we get it. You guys are upset. We can't get our act together when it comes to, you know, finding a building to play in. We haven't iced a good team in I don't know how long. So, we apologize. To me, it's like, okay, no more slogans and no more taglines until you count Coyotes 2.0. But then it's, well, okay, are you reducing tickets or something? I mean, like, what is changing here besides the fact that you're not going to, employ an advertising department or something that comes up with cool slogans and gimmicks? But either way, we'll see what happens with the Coyotes. Hockey Jerk, do you have a particular tagline do you think is not being used by the Coyotes that should be?
Let's go with
Desert Dogs. Desert Dogs.
Yeah,
I was going to say
Desert Dogs.
I was going to say best drinking game in the NHL.
That's right, baby.
Though this whole Coyotes 2.0 thing, it is a little weird, and there are parts of it that are like borderline cringy. But if you strip it down and you read it for what it is, I think it's a fantastic thing that they're doing because you think about how much turmoil the organization's been through the last 10 years. You know, they went, you know, bankrupt, and they were owned by the NHL, and, you know, they finally got an owner, and they got an arena deal, and then the arena deal fell through, and all that stuff. And you think about when they've made the playoffs, I think besides their run to the West Final back in 2012, I think they were swept by the Red Wings a couple of years before that. So really what I think their main goal with this new, I guess, promotion or motto or whatever you want to call it, is that they're just trying to reward the fans for being such, you know, troopers about all the turmoil that's going on. Yeah. Well, I don't know, because you watch a Coyotes game anytime the Sharks play them, and their fans are always into it, and they're so passionate.
They
show up. The on-ice product, we've seen the last couple of years, they've played pretty decent in October and November, and then they fall apart. We've seen it the last 2 years, and really, I think the Coyotes recognize that they haven't met the expectations that they set for themselves, and so they just want to say to the fans, like, you know, we appreciate the hell out of you, and we're going to get there, and I think it's just showing appreciation to the fans more than anything.
I feel like at some point there had to have been a time when somebody just looked around and go, okay, whose stupid idea was it to move here from Winnipeg? Who was it? Okay, so a couple quick more things and we can get out of here. God, I hate to break it to you, Sharks fans. If this is the first you're learning of this, you're going to be a little upset. And when you get there, you're going to be really upset. The Sharks store seems to have found themselves some new owners. I always thought that the Sharks store was kind of owned and maintained by the Sharks organization. You would think that they would share in that, along with the NHL or whatever. But the thing that I really enjoyed the most about the Shark store was the fact that you could get one-of-a-kind items. You can find tons of Shark stuff if you go to, there's so many websites out there that you can, and they all have the same Shark stuff, whether it's a hoodie or a pullover, a shirt or a jersey or whatever. It's all the same stuff. But there's a ton of stuff that you could only get if you went to a game. And that's actually generally the rule for tons of sports. Whether I go to, I've gone to several Giants games where I've come across something, whether it was a hat or a shirt that I really liked, and I went, wow, I can't believe I've never seen this before. Well, it's because you can only get it there. There's a shirt right now that says Bay Area Unite, and it has the Sharks logo on the one side, and it has the San Francisco Giants logo on the other, and in the middle is a hockey stick and a bat that's crossed between the two logos. You can only get that shirt. You can't even get that at the Sharks. You can only get it at the San Francisco Giants dugout store at AT&T Park or at the Valley Fair location, from what I understand. But that, you can't order that online. So evidently, the Sharks felt that maybe that wasn't the way to go. And Hockey Jerk, I think you probably know a little bit more about this than I do, but evidently there's some new ownership. But I do know one thing. There seemed to be a lot less merchandise to look at when I was in there last night.
Yeah, I've gone in there a couple times, like throughout the day, just when I've had free time, and it definitely seems like there's a lot less stuff in there. I mean, I couldn't tell you what the reason for that was, but there's definitely a drop off in how much stuff they had. Like, I know in playoffs it was packed with stuff versus now. It definitely seems like there's a lot less.
Yeah. Well, from what I've heard is that there's some new company that I guess is running stuff. Hey, if you're listening and you're aware, by all means, drop us a line. I know I didn't do any of our promotions at the top of the show, but I'll do it at the end. But drop us a line, puckknowledgeists@gmail.com. Send us a tweet, @puckknowledgeists. But yeah, I'd really... we're getting there, but that does kind of, I mean, have you noticed anything about the store, Rocket, that's either kind of like,
yeah,
hey,
it's not so claustrophobic and it doesn't feel like a tidal wave of teal tsunami stuff is coming down on top of me now. I feel that it's a little bit more open. You can see people from, you know, the chin up a lot easier now. I think maybe it might have been a little bit better for loss prevention to just sort of manage, especially since we're in preseason still. We don't know what's going to come in and what, you know, maybe they're making room for cool stuff that's not going to be here for a month or two. Whatever. It's preseason. Come on.
All right.
Also, there's still stuff at SAP that I cannot get anywhere else. That t-shirt up at the 47 booth on the concourse, the one with the Birds of Paradise on it, you can't find that anywhere else. The hat that I have with all the little leaves on it, you can't get that anywhere else. There's still items at the tank you cannot get anywhere else.
But that may be a case of this is stuff, and I think we touched on this on the last show, but we might not have, that that may be just, you know, the end of the run for that stuff, and you're not going to be able to get it. Like, once they run out of that, that's it. It's not coming back. When I spoke to an employee at one of the stores last week, she told me, I had mentioned to her that it was very cool. I thought it was very cool that they still had the Heritage jerseys available from last season. I was hoping that it wasn't just a one season thing, because clearly they're still very popular. And she told me, we still have them, but once they're sold out, they're sold out. We're not ordering more. So if you want a Heritage jersey, you might want to get on the stick with that pretty quickly. So let's hit a couple segments and get out of here. This week in Sharks history, right wing Owen Nolan and left wing Jeff Friesen record the Sharks' first dual hat trick game in a 7-1 defeat over Chicago on October 4th, back in 1999. And back in 91, the Sharks played their first home game ever at the Cow Palace in Daly City. Who was it against? That's right, the dreaded and hated Vancouver Canucks.
Canucks.
That's right. So besides giving away the Western Conference champions banner, there's a pregame street rally at 5 o'clock. And of course, there's going to be the raising of the banner, because we're so tired of seeing the one that says regular season Western Conference champions. But they're raising the big banner. And then, of course, if you were at any of the third round or final round last season, you're going to be really familiar with the LED wrist bracelet that you're going to get that night, because they're going to do another big explosive introduction with everybody.
Those
17
fans are the best ever. I really honestly hope that by the end of the season, I see a wrist bone on every single person who lives and works and plays in San Jose.
Yeah, I just wish they lasted longer than a couple days. You know, I wonder how long you have to, or how many times you have to replace the battery in that damn thing. But it is,
don't move your arm.
Yeah, but man, it's a lot of fun. And then I also noticed on an email that they sent out is that they have something called a promotion that they're doing versus the Blue Jackets on the 27th called a Chum Pack. So you buy two tickets, which gets you two bottles of Chum and two Sharks Steins. And I'm kind of wondering what those Shark Steins look like, because, you know, hey, I might want one of those.
I wonder if they'll be the same shape as the one from the street rally, the Fan Fest last year, something like this.
I wonder if they might be exactly the same and they just have some extras. You never know, which I don't have a problem with. But it's just the fact that I would like to know. It wouldn't surprise me, and I think it would be a really good idea, is if they, obviously they've worked in conjunction with Gordon Biersch to make this beer. Maybe they work with them to make, chum beer steins. So hopefully between now and that game, the Sharks release some sort of photo to try to hype up the event and see what it comes down to. Okay, kids, final segment before we're out of here. Let's do...
Oh, good for you!
And I only have one star this week. Rocket only has one star this week. And Hockey Jerk only has one star this week. So, Miss Rocket Backhander, we'll go with you.
My pick for the week is going to be number 89, Michael Bodker. He's been looking super solid on the team. Glad he's here. I was happy that he was in the World Cup. He's going to fit in real well.
Hockey Jerk?
My star of the week is Mr. Neats Beats, Matt Nieto. And that may come as a shock to those of you who follow me on Twitter, because as you know, I'm not his biggest fan. But credit where credit is due. He's come to camp looking stronger, looking faster, looking better with the puck. And he's got 3 preseason goals in how many ever preseason games he's played. So he's definitely trying to prove that he's worth more than a 1-year show me you're good or you're out of here contract.
All right, good for him. Or as we say...
Oh, good for you!
My star of the week, I'm actually withholding it until we see what happens. Let me just say that right now I have a star reserved. It's reserved. I've got it tucked away.
That's a cop out. You don't have anyone.
No, he does. His star is going to be Kevin Joey LeBlanc.
That's right. That's right. How you know me so well.
It's Mr. Kevin LeBanc, because
AKA Joey from Friends.
Because he's just firing on all cylinders. Pop, pop, pop.
So that's it, boys and girls. Final thoughts, anything that we're looking forward to between now and the next show, which, of course, kids, because we do usually record on Wednesdays, but obviously it's a Thursday this week because last night was a Wednesday game that we were at, and next week will be a Wednesday game that we will be at. So show will probably drop on Friday. So between now and opening night or the next show, Hockey Jerk, anything that you would like to say to the people, and by all means, tell them where to find you.
You can find me on Twitter at @hockey_jerk, 365 or GTFO.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at some point that hashtag will catch fire. Rocket?
My name is Rocket Backhander. Hi. You can find me taking pictures for Pucknology on Instagram, or you can find my personal Twitter at Big R, Big B, Small Ackhander, and the number 76. There are no underscores because, well, I do not respect the underscore. Anyway, so there's hockey things and hockey retweets and occasionally things about me not killing myself in the kitchen. That's what I do. That's what I have. If you have questions, comments, concerns, you want to see videos of me and my teal stuff, let me know, because that's coming.
And I am AJ Strong, but on Twitter, AJ_Strong. Same on Instagram. And that's how you would get a hold of me. But for the show, please do us a favor. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, please. Google Play. And we're even welcoming in Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. You'd be hard to press to find a place you can't find us. And thank you to Ian Reed for making that happen. Follow us on the Twitter machine at Pucknologists and email any questions, promo codes, winning lotto numbers, whatever you may have. We would like to do a Ian's Hockey 101 in the near future. So if you have something you would like to know, or if you just want to, make the angry Canadian a little angrier, by all means, send it over to pucknologists@gmail.com. And with that, the next show that you hear from us will be in the Sharks' regular season. Bring it on. We're out of here.